I'm Blake Hardcastle. This is the Stories You've Missed podcast.
Welcome back to the podcast, Stories You've Missed. These are accounts of God's grace in the lives of ordinary people at Grand Parkway Baptist Church. I'm your host, Blake Hardcastle, and I serve as a spiritual formation pastor here at Grand Parkway. And this podcast is designed to aid in the building up of this local body by retelling the amazing works of God. Today, my guests are Cynthia Buchanan and Barb Bachman. And Cynthia was born in Houston, grew up on the south side of the city, was married for 30 years until she was widowed in 2014. She has two adult daughters, one adult son, and three grandchildren. She has a degree in applied mathematics from University of Houston and was an IT project manager with technology, infrastructure, and oil and gas industry, like a quarter of the population. Retired in 2017. Now, during childhood, there was always a quilt on a frame or a sewing project or a crochet hook in the front room at her grandmother's house. And so almost inescapable what we're going to talk about today. She's an accomplished quilter with pieces that are displayed as art. Barb grew up in the west coast of California and spent her adult life in California and Washington until moving to Texas in 2016. She was raised on a farm and had cows and horses and used to ride in the local rodeos and was a proud member of the Future Farmers of America, FFA. She's married to Dave, and they have three adult children, five grandchildren. She always used to spend her spare time crafting, needlework, quilting, crocheting, and when you were retiring, told everyone, this is what I'm doing at home from now on. So welcome. Barb and Cynthia, and today we are talking about something called Hands to Bless.
Yes.
Okay. That is a ministry here at Grand Parkway.
Yes.
All right. And maybe our people are guessing, oh, it has to do something with doing something with hands, crafting. So why don't you go ahead and tell us what is Hands to Bless? What does it do?
Hands to Bless is a group of women who come together, and we have women that do all kinds of crafts. We like to quilt, but we also crochet, knit, sew.
Needlework.
Any type of needlework that we do, because we want our items to be made by hand. And anybody can go down in the store and buy something, but you can't, not everybody can make something. So we think this blesses people getting handmade items, that we know that our love goes into it. And a lot of the items that we make, we pray as we make them. So they have God's blessing on them as we have prayed over these items.
Now, what's an example? Now, who receives these items?
We have different ministries. We have a ministry here at the church that is for the new babies that are born. Okay. And so those mamas and dads get a bucket that's filled with handmade items, like there'll be a quilt in there for the baby. There'll be burp cloths, receiving blankets, all of that. Knitted and crocheted washcloths. There'll be baby booties. I don't do those. It takes me too long. But there'll be a crocheted blanket. There'll be all kinds of items. And the ladies that come to Hands to Bless, they come up with different ideas.
Okay.
So we're not... Cynthia and I don't make up all the ideas. We don't decide what's going in these. That's what God leads somebody else that they want to put in there.
So new families, new babies,
they get a bucket.
And what's purchased would be like fabric or yarn.
Right.
Or
correct.
And then this gets into your hands and gets transformed and then goes to them.
Right.
Okay. Yes. What would have been normal, say, 100 years ago before you just buy everything? You had to make stuff, right?
You had to make
it. Yeah.
And I think the ladies that are doing this, and I say ladies because right now we don't have any men, but they're welcome.
They're welcome.
They are welcome.
Are they not as skilled, or are they just...
There are quilters and knitters and crocheters that are men, and we just haven't come across any of them yet. But if there is anybody out there that wants to join, they certainly can.
We'll pause for an advertising break. If you're a guy listening to this and you're like, yes, this is my thing, my people. I use my hands and I make magic out of cotton and fabrics. You're welcome. Come on by. Okay.
And then annually we do what we are calling a senior bucket.
Okay.
Graduating seniors
from
high school.
Okay.
They get a bucket of handmade goods that generally can go in a dorm or carry them off to their, where if they're not going to college, to their first apartment, that kind of thing. And there's, they all receive a handmade quilt as well. And we usually do a kind of a one pattern a year that whoever wants to can make a quilt out of that. And then we...
A quilt pattern.
A quilt pattern. Okay. And then they can either... we have machine quilters that will quilt them, or most of the ladies just quilt them themselves. But that's kind of a thing within ourselves that we all do. And it's kind of nice to see those because we all take the same pattern, but we use different fabrics.
Okay.
So none of them look alike.
Yeah.
Other than the pattern.
Okay.
We have a couple other ministries. We have knitters that or crocheters that do prayer shawls.
Okay, tell me about that.
That's for somebody who is, you know, in the hospital or homebound, ill, something comes quickly on them that one of the pastors here at the church will take to them and share with them that it was made by hands to bless.
Yeah.
And we also do lap quilts for the same thing.
Okay.
And just wherever there's a need and
there's
grief and there needs to be comfort.
Is there a connection between something, you know, textile that you hold and comfort? Is there a connection between that?
Well, I'll tell you how the graduating seniors came about.
Yeah.
I was sitting in a Bible study with Marcy. Marcy is our women's pastor.
Marcy McClendon, our women's pastor.
Yes. Sitting in a Bible study, and she's talking about... just for a few minutes, she's talking about our kids that go off to college, that they're enveloped in the church while they're here. There's many activities while they're in school. Then they leave and go to college, and life is like totally different for them.
Everything changes.
Everything
new
changes.
City, new schedule.
They
new
have to find the group to worship with. They have to find the new friends. It's very different for them.
It's so very dysregulating.
Very dysregulating. And, you know, at least they're young and they accept change a lot better than we do at our age. But we wanted something that they can feel, touch, look at on a daily basis to remember that they are loved by God.
Yeah.
And that they have a church that loves them. And just that they're blessed.
Yeah.
And that we do remember them. And we started out by taking this to our group, and our group discussed what can we do.
Yeah.
And so we started out with, well, I think I'd like to make quilts for them, but I can't make quilts for everybody.
How long does it take to make a quilt?
The ones that we're making for... the seniors are twin size quilts.
Okay.
Because they go to college and they have
a twin size bed.
So
that
works for us. It takes, if you have the right equipment, it takes about 2 weeks to do one quilt.
Now, when you say 2 weeks, is that like a full-time job?
Full-time.
So 80 hours-ish.
About, yes.
About. Yeah, that's a good guess.
Okay. I'm just kind of dumb. I don't know what I thought. Now, you said the right equipment. If you have the wrong equipment or...
It's a lot longer.
Okay. Wow. That's a significant amount of time.
So they have to... I mean, they realize when they receive these quilts, I've seen them cry. They're so appreciative for what they're getting. Mm-hmm. And I think they realize what they're getting is that these are things that we've put a significant amount of time in to make these things for them. And then there's a bucket of other items that we give them. They get washcloths. They get toiletry bags that we make.
Yep.
They get things to hang their cell phone in so they can hang them on the wall. If you're at the top of a bunk, you can hang your cell phone holder on the wall.
There's about
15 items that go into these baskets.
And so the quilt is the one that... takes the longest, but there's a bunch of other things.
Yes. We spent about 4 months working on the senior baskets.
Wow. 4 months of the 12-month year.
4 months of the 12-month.
Yeah.
Now, this is a little more than a dabbling hobby, it sounds like.
Yes.
Well, we like to think it's our love of what we love to do. And our family loves getting our homemade things, but some of them are just kind of like, really, another.
Here comes another quilt. And how much wall space do you have in your home that I can hang things on?
So, yeah.
So it's a great way to use what we love to do and bless others.
Yeah.
And I think everybody that participates just loves it.
Yeah.
And they're always coming up with ideas. We meet weekly we don't meet during the summer, but other than that, starting in fall, we'll meet weekly. And everybody comes in and they're showing what they've worked on. And they're saying, well, this would work for this ministry. This would do that. We have a new ministry that we're going to start working on called Houston Welcomes Refugees.
Okay.
We spoke with Nancy Hodges about that recently, and Marcy. And we're formulating that in our minds.
Yeah. Now, Houston Welcomes Refugees, this is an organization that helps persons who are usually escaping some kind of crisis, hardship, difficulty, whether it's political or natural disaster, and they're immigrating to the United States, and they pretty much come with a backpack per person and some hope, and that's some grit, and that's about it.
So we're looking at doing something what we call relatively simple, making maybe table runners for the kitchen table or placemats or Cynthia came up with a great idea. I'll let you share that about the kids.
The kids, my granddaughter has this horrible blanket that she keeps. I've made her these beautiful quilts.
You say horrible, she says wonderful.
It's red and green and she loves it, but it drives me crazy. It's, I'll describe it. It's the heavy flannel. It's called fleece. And it's nothing more than a fleece blanket that has an edging around it.
Okay.
And she drags it everywhere. I put it up and she drags it out. So I was thinking, these kids probably like that too. Kids are kids, no matter where you are.
Yeah.
So this would be something they could wrap up in and easy for us to make. Yeah. And we can make a lot of them.
Yeah. I definitely think that, you know, that there is a comfort that comes from these kind of things, you know, the feeling of a blanket, the, you know, the appearance of a table. There's a comfort and a security that comes from that. And so I think it's very subtle but significant what
we
people can experience.
So. Yeah. That's what our hope is.
The idea is rather than go down to Target and buy something to throw on the table, that if we make something that has bright colors in it, that feels homey, that this would make them feel more welcome, more like they're
loved. Absolutely. Who's a good fit to participate in this ministry?
I'm thinking anyone.
Anyone. We have such a variety of people that join us. I will tell you that we have about twice a year, we've been having workshops where we teach quilting or we teach something. And maybe knitting or crocheting, and we're kind of bouncing around what do we want to do for our next workshop.
Yeah.
But we have gotten a lot of our members from the workshops on teaching how to quilt. So
people who had an interest.
Yes.
And thought, you know, I've not got much skill, but I'm interested, and kind of opened a door for them that you can do this. This is not a, you know, 1% of people in the world only have the ability to do this.
Right. And we really feel strongly that we need to teach our craft. There's a lot of younger people out there, women, men, whatever. It's not gender specific, I guess, is what I'm saying.
Yeah,
but we want them to learn how to quilt because quilting is something that's not as well known today. It's sort of, what's the word I'm thinking of? Dissolving a little bit, and we want to bring it back.
Yeah.
We want there's so much.
The quilters our age are getting older. That's what's happening.
there's the word.
That's the word you want. They're getting older,
yes.
And we want quilting to continue.
You want to transfer this skill,
yes,
so it doesn't perish.
Yes,
yeah. You know, I we have a quilt at our house that I got from my grandmother that she made when she, I guess she was a teenager, during. Maybe she's during World War II. And it's made out of flour sacks. And so it's not the greatest colors in the world, but it's pretty special because this was part of the war effort, right?
Yes. Right.
You can't get fabric, and they saved the best sacks they could. And so somehow this quilt, you know, because it wasn't an art piece. It was somehow this thing survived. And it's pretty special knowing her and my great-grandmother's hands put this thing together. And, it, you know, it's survived. It's not, it's done with quality.
Yeah, I imagine it was hand quilted too. So it was probably on the
frame. Not right tools.
Even the batting that goes inside of it, mm-hmm. the cotton that goes inside of it, they had to make that. We go down to the store and we buy rolls of the batting that goes inside. They made it. They got the cotton.
How would they have? They got in the cotton bowl.
They got the cotton and they combed the cotton and they combed it
seeds
into
out
a
of it
sheet.
And the dirt
seeds
and,
out of it. Yeah. Comb it into a sheet. Instead of spinning it into wool, they would comb it flat.
I'm going to look at this thing tonight. I just want to appreciate what they did. I had no idea.
Yes.
Wow.
Yes.
So really, it was more than 80 hours that. Yeah, the one in the same.
Yeah, back then it was probably weeks.
Yeah.
Because they were also plowing the fields.
Well, yeah, it's, yes.
Cooking the meals. And
Now, other people, a person that might be a great candidate for someone who's got some time on their hands.
Correct.
You know, if you're working at your a regular job for 60 hours a week or 40 hours a week, unless you just, you know, love a part-time job, which
it's but I think both Cynthia and I, both when we were working, 40 hours a week or more. That was our release for creativity. That we could go home and on the weekend or in the evening spend a couple minutes, you know, doing whatever.
Yeah.
And we try to do our workshops on the weekend because we know there are working women.
Gotcha. Okay.
And so our when we schedule those, Marcy will send out information.
Yeah.
And then we schedule them on the weekend purposefully so that women who are working, and we have a lot of young women who are moms that are raising those toddlers or kids just starting school, and they just get so excited about learning something new, and then they go home and they, you know, are cleaning up and doing things after their kids, and they'll meet with us, so we'll see them at church or something, and they'll say, I just haven't been able to get back at that quilt. And we're like, it's okay. We've been where you're at.
Exactly.
Take your time. It's okay. We're going to always be here.
Yeah.
So we know what it's like to be that young mom or the mom of the teenagers that have you at every sports game there is.
And yeah.
So don't let that hold you back. If you want to learn a little bit or you want to just come and the best part I think about Hands to Bless is the socializing.
Oh, okay. So people don't have to wait until retirement to be a part of this.
No.
And they don't have to make every Thursday meeting to be a part of this.
That's right.
Now, socializing, it really it's community that's happening.
It is community. And we come together every Thursday. And sometimes it's the same people. Sometimes it's a drop in here or there of somebody who hasn't been for a while. We also communicate via email or text, or if you've got a problem, one of us might be praying for you because you might mention, because of the friendships we've built, the relationships we have, if something comes awry with a family, we're talking to each other outside of Thursday.
Yeah.
There was a Thursday that I kind of, it started about Monday. The Holy Spirit put something on my heart, and it said, you need to get Neil in to pray on Thursday. You need to have him come in. So I called Neil, and I said, we're having our Hands to Bless on Thursday, and I need you to come in and pray. I don't know why, and I don't know what for, but you need to come in. And he did. He came in and he said the best prayer and he pulled scripture out and he must have prayed for 15 minutes. And I felt so much better after that. I felt like, okay, I've answered whatever was eating on my heart.
Yeah.
And I don't know why, who it helped, but I'm sure it helped someone in that group that was needing prayer at that particular time. So we do, it is a community for us.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Has everything always gone perfectly, or are there comical things that happen?
Or? Well, you know, my background is project management, so
which otherwise known as control.
Yes. So, and I came from oil and gas, and I came from IT on the hardware side.
Okay.
there's only men over there. There's very few women in there. So I'm used to controlling men.
Okay.
So this is different controlling women than it is controlling men.
So I'm just mildly curious.
Yes.
If there's one distinction you would care to mention between, you know, controlling, leading, cracking the whip. What's it look like between men and women?
You just tell men what to do.
These are like roughnecks at an oil
rig.
No.
They're guys that's their hardware and they're in charge of it and they know it and you don't. And, you know, they don't think I know anything. So I just say, do this by this date. And if you can't get it done, let me know how I can help. And they go, oh, no, we will get it done. Women have feelings. So you have to guide them and make sure that you're taking care of their needs as you do these things.
So guys, if you're interested in Hands to Bless, show up. We won't talk about your feelings. We'll just tell you what to do.
That's it.
Well, I am the feelings person. My background is human resources. I balance.
Good compliment.
We do. We compliment each other
very
much.
Task-oriented and people-oriented. Yes.
And I'll say to Cynthia sometimes, we need to just be a little more gentle. And she'll say, no, we've got a deadline. And I'm like, okay. So we work that through.
So when we start a project.
Like the head coach and the assistant coach.
Yes.
All the team loves the assistant coach, but they do whatever the head coach says.
Yes. They just got to groan when I come in. Okay.
No, they don't.
I built spreadsheets for our project.
You're managing this project.
I approach it as a project. So for our seniors, our baby bucket's not, it's an ongoing ministry.
So people graduate one time a year. People having babies all throughout the year.
Yes. Yeah. So we have a deadline for our graduating seniors. So we work with the student pastor and how many do we have? Yeah. What time does this have to be done or what day does this have to be done and when are we going to pass them out and how are we going to do it? And I just bug him to death till, you know, to get all the details in line because that's what it takes to get and this is a large project for us.
Yeah.
It's a lot of time. It's a lot of effort.
Yeah, how many seniors normally are there?
We had, we did 16 baskets and 16 quilts this last year.
2 weeks of quilt.
The year before that, I think we did 24.
24. Wow.
The first year we did about 12 or 15.
Yeah.
So it's between 15 and 20 about. Yeah. COVID just knocked the numbers down, obviously. But as the church grows, we expect to have more in there.
Which means you need more people. More hands blessing.
Yes.
Absolutely.
So if someone's listening to this and they're mildly curious, I wonder if I should. Yeah, try it.
Yes.
Because if we get 20 or 30 or, you know, I don't want to panic you, 50 seniors some year.
Stop. Like, stop.
Yes.
We need to double or triple our hands blessing people.
Yes.
I got a little panicked. I'm not even part of this thing. So. is there a particular item that is special to make or a particular one that you recall having a special impact on someone?
I would say, Cynthia, when you made the booties for the preemie baby.
Oh, I didn't think about that.
Yes. Oh, my gosh. I went over to Cynthia's house one day and in this little Ziploc bag was this little pair of booties. And I said, did you make Lily's American Doll these little booties? I mean, really, Cynthia, did you?
Right.
This was the children's minister came to us.
Yeah.
And she came to me and she said, who makes the booties? We need some booties for a preemie baby that is 1 pound.
Wow.
And was in the NICU. And I went, I can do that. She said that the booties actually helped them grow. To have hand-knitted booties on their feet was beneficial.
That tactile comfort.
I'm not a doctor. I don't understand. But they're telling me, and I'm saying, okay.
Wow.
So I knitted and crocheted these little tiny.
Like tiny ones.
Tiny. Man. Yes.
Think of a doll. They were that tiny. Mm. It was amazing.
Wow. And this child today
is, as far as the last time I checked, it was growing and it was close to 5 pounds. So it's been several weeks since I've heard.
This is recent. This is recent.
This is recent in the last 3 or 4 months.
Wow.
And this was, the mother was one of the volunteers that work in the children's ministry. Mm. So it was even more special to us that it was one of the women who actually mined, probably his mine, my granddaughter over there. So I was so excited to do that for them.
Absolutely. I'm still stuck on that these can help a child grow.
I know. Isn't it amazing?
It is amazing.
In a NICU, in an incubator.
Yes.
A little hand-knitted pair of booties. Gives me chills. I mean, it was precious.
It is.
The other thing that we do, we do a lot when the children's ministry comes over and asks us, can you do this? Mm-hmm. And we wait for them to tell us, other than the baby buckets, we wait for them to tell us. So one year, about 3 years ago, I guess, Jana came over and said, we would like some Bible covers for our second graders, that they give them a Bible. And in a couple of weeks, you'll see them getting their Bibles here during one of the services.
Oh, this is coming up?
This is coming up.
And so the second grade, we kind of acknowledge you've gotten out of like
the kiddie
little
stuff.
Tiny kid
yes.
to where you could begin the foster relationship with God. And so we mark that by giving them a Bible.
Correct. Yes.
Okay. And then she said, how about some Bible covers?
So what she wanted was, she says they get Bibles and they all look alike. Oh. So the kids bring them on Sunday and then they get them all mixed up. And you know how kids are about their things.
Right.
This is mine. This is not yours.
Right.
And so she wanted Bible covers that they could draw on.
Okay.
So being a fabric painter and dyer.
Oh, okay.
I... pulled out my fabric that you can draw on. You have to get special fabric. So I pulled it out and got some to Barb. We got a pattern. Mm-hmm. I made up a pattern and we make Bible covers for them. So after they receive their Bibles, Miss Jana goes through
Jana is our children's minister.
Uh-huh. She goes through and teaches them how to look things up in the Bible and then she gives them fabric pens. And they write their names and draw on the covers of these Bibles.
Yeah.
So, and I see them coming in. It just warms my heart when I see the kids bringing their Bibles with their drawings on the front of them.
And they don't mistake whose is whose.
That's right.
I don't want your drawing. I want my drawing. That's fascinating. Now, I'm just curious. How do you finance all this fabric and these things?
Well, we have large stashes, or we would say fabric collections.
So is that part of being a person who works with fabric that, some might say you're a bit of a hoarder, but...
Yes, that's exactly right. They call us a fabraholic. Yes.
Fabraholic, okay. Yes.
But also, we do have a budget through the women's ministry. Yeah. Marcy gives us a budget. So we're able to buy some of the yarn that we need, batting for quilts, those kind of things. Yeah. And so we do have an annual budget that Marcy buys our buckets and our the teenage buckets, that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
So we do get funding from the church.
So when people who are part of our church, when they're regular giving, a portion of that actually is supporting what you guys are doing.
Yes.
Yeah.
And we've had people donate to us that have received new parents that have received these baby buckets. Mm-hmm. And they'll say, we were blessed. We want to bless you. So here, go buy some more supplies.
Yeah. Bless someone else. What's the future of Hands to Bless as you think about the next 3 years, 10 years, 20 years?
Well, if we're talking 20 years, we want to pass it off to somebody.
Yeah.
Yes. So we need some young women.
All you current project managers, we're calling you. All you current HR, we're calling on you. Yes.
No, I think for us, it's always being ready to do where God wants work from us. So like the newest thing is... Houston welcomes refugees. Yeah, what can we do for that? We've also done, when we first started, we did some aprons and cushion covers that went overseas to our ministries overseas.
Okay, yeah.
We've done
so,
things for Costa Rica and Romania.
Yes. Yes. And so whatever, we're open to whatever. We don't want to just be busy and not have have it go to something good.
Yeah.
But I think we're going to keep teaching. We're going to keep doing what we're doing now and adding to that.
Mm-hmm. We're always looking to where's their need.
Right.
And as we first started putting our group together in the beginning, and Barb and I and Marcy met several times and went, where do we start?
Mm-hmm.
This is
how did this begin?
This is, well,
Marcy.
We each have our own, Barb and I each have our own stories. My story, and I'll let Barb tell her, but my story was that I just wanted a group where I could quilt. And I just remember both my grandmothers who met in church.
Yeah.
Going to the church and quilting. And I thought, I want to do that.
Yeah.
I want to follow in their footsteps because they were such good, loving Christian women. I thought, I'm going to do what they do, so I'll be like that.
Yeah.
And I don't know how Marcy knew that I actually retired and got laid off the same time.
Okay.
So you get laid off and you're within a month of retirement. And you just go, yeah, I'm retired.
Just take your hands.
Yeah.
I'm done with this.
My company was bought out, and they said, don't come back tomorrow. And I went, cool, I got it. It looks great. So I was into retirement about 3 weeks. Marcy called.
Hmm.
Come, you need to lead this group. Come meet with me.
Hmm.
And I went, I don't know if I want to lead a group. I want to be in a group.
Yeah.
I don't know if I want to lead a group.
Yeah.
So I came up here, and she says, I have somebody I want you to meet. And I went, I'm a project manager. I lead. I don't co-lead anything.
I don't do people.
I don't do this. No, I don't. It's not warm and fuzzy for me. So I came in, and I was kind of grumbling as I walked in, like, what in the world have I gotten into?
Mm-hmm.
And we met, and I told Marcy, I'll quilt, I'll crochet for you, I'll knit for you, but I can't teach. I'm not a teacher. I don't want to teach anymore. It was all these memories of having to do all the trainings and things that I was responsible for in my work.
Yeah.
So I didn't want to teach at all. I just wanted to sit and do and just kind of be in the background.
Okay.
And of course, God had other plans for us. So I met with Barb, and it took about 10 minutes for us to become best friends.
And now, then, was Barb the person she wanted you to meet?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. And then I found out that we actually live a little over a mile apart.
Yeah.
And then she found out that I'm a widow, and I found out that her husband was military. My husband was military. And, he can come fix things in my house. How convenient for me. So that's how we really got started.
Yeah. And she said your story was different, Barb?
My story is different. We relocated here to Houston area in 2016, as you said. And I knew nobody but my two adult children and their families. So we came to the church that January and came to Grand Parkway. And the day we walked in, Dave and I both said, we're home. Hmm. This is it. And we just felt really comfortable. And so I made an appointment to meet with Marcy. And in my way, in my tears, my emotion, I came in and met with her and said, I need something to do. I'm dying here. I don't know anybody. I know, she said, well, what do you want to do? What did you do? And I told her I was an administrator and an adjunct professor. But I didn't think that's where God wanted me right now. And she said, I got just the person for you. So then I got the call that Cynthia got, and we both came in and met together.
Okay.
And Cynthia's like, I'm not teaching. I'm like, well, I was an adjunct professor. I could teach. You know, I'm all over it. And Cynthia's looking at me like, stop. Don't talk anymore. But then we got, like she said, within 10 minutes, we became good friends. And she's just my bestie now.
Yeah.
I know that.
Yeah.
And I know that God's hand was in this in so many ways. He moved me right in the neighborhood I needed to be in. Cynthia had just moved to the neighborhood within a year after Dan had passed away. And I mean, literally, we're a mile apart. Isn't this God working here? He brought us both to the same church in different moments, different times. And we just, you know, it's just such a blessing. And every now and then we'll both talk about maybe we need to move, or I don't want to be in this house, or this or that. And I'm like, no, God put us here. We're not going anywhere. And we met after we met with Marcy. She and I met and thought, how can we do this? And through the help of Marcy and the church, we started emails and stuff. And then we got a group of people together, and they're the ones that named it Hands to Bless.
Okay.
And we started doing classes, and Cynthia started teaching, which is just hilarious to me. And I don't teach. I help. I'm the assistant. And we just have a good time. Yeah. And it's God's hand in it. I just, there's no other way to say it.
Yeah.
We know it.
Did you expect to make a best friend in your 60s?
No.
No.
That's for young people?
I was lost.
After the passing of your husband.
You experience things differently. And they told me, you're going to be doing this and this. I went, no, don't tell me what I'm going to be doing. But you get lost. And you either lean in or you separate from God. And I leaned in hard. And I just surrendered. And I said, lead me. Tell me what to do. And he led me in everything. He led me to move over here, to come to this church, to get in the job that I was in where I could retire from that spot, provided me with the funds to do what I needed to do. It was God's hand in all of that. And when you just surrender to that and don't fight what he wants you to do. All my life, I just kind of fought. I don't want to go here. I want to go there. And I was just lost and needed that fellowship. Just needed all of that. Barb was here and the church was here and it just was natural for me. It just felt so good.
I was lonely. I just needed a friend. Everybody I knew, I left behind.
In the West Coast.
In Washington. And I had just been praying. I mean, I did some online stuff at home I did tell everybody I was going to quilt come one way or the other. And when God just introduced me with Cynthia, it's been such a blessing. Not only have I been able to quilt and learn more and enjoy that as much as I do, but I have a friend who studies the Bible. We study together. We talk. We pray together. It's so amazing. It's so much more than I could have ever asked for. It's more than just quilting. It's fabric, piecing it all together. But I'm not just piecing fabric. I'm piecing my life together.
Ooh.
It's beautiful.
Say a little more about that.
Well, you know, every stitch I take on fabric is me talking to God about what he's doing in my life. And how he's changing. How am I allowing God to change me? And at this place in my life, I'd say age, but I don't want to talk about that. At this time in my life, that's what I want. I just want to be closer to God. And this Hands to Bless is helping me do that.
It's not just something to kill time.
Right.
It's not just a hobby. Really, this is a spiritual worship experience for you.
And I'm making if I'm piecing a quilt, I don't know the senior that's going to get it, the graduating senior. But I will tell you, it is amazing to piece these quilts, put them in a pile, set them out, pick who's getting it, and then come on that Sunday when the seniors get their quilt and their basket and look at the senior student and that quilt, and you're like, oh my goodness, God had his hand in that student getting that quilt. looks just like that student.
It's amazing that when we get them done and we're getting them ready to, I make labels, yeah. And obviously because I'm the project manager, I make all this stuff. So that's one of the lines on my worksheet. So I make labels, and we hand the labels to, we invite the pastors and the people that are working with the kids, and we hand them the labels. Here's everybody's name. Go put these names on mm-hmm. a quilt. Mm-hmm. And they find that quilt that goes with that person. Mm. And we don't plan any
right.
of that.
Right.
One year I made a yellow, black, and white quilt, kind of a gold yellow. Mm-hmm. And it looked like school colors. Mm-hmm. And I had no idea what I was doing. Mm-hmm. I went to Hobby Lobby and I went, I need some more fabric for this. I need more fabric. Mm-hmm. That's our mantra. We need more fabric. So I go to Hobby Lobby and I go, okay, what matches? I need three pieces. What matches? And I ended up with these colors. And anybody that knows me knows that yellow is the last color I would ever pick up. So I ended up with this gold and this black mm-hmm. and this white. Mm-hmm. And I put it together. And it went to someone whose school colors were gold mm-hmm. and black and white.
Mm-hmm. Was this a recent quilt?
Two years ago.
Okay. What was it? I think it was my son.
It was your son.
My son yes. went to Foster
yeah.
High School.
Yes. Yeah. And he had only been there a year.
Only been there a year. Yeah. We just moved to Texas. He'd been to school for 1 year. Yeah. And you've made it even extra long because he's tall.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. He has it with him. He's at College Station now. He has it with him now. Yeah.
I had no idea. Yeah. And, you know, you have to get led. Like I said, you're led.
Because there's no way you could have the time frame. You got
to.
Purchase the stuff.
Yeah.
You can't go, okay, we got to have these quilts ready in 1 month. Which color should we pick?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, and we don't necessarily know the student that's getting it. That's mm-hmm. the beauty of it,
yeah.
too. And then when you see them receive it that day, you're like, oh, my goodness. Mm-hmm. I can't even believe how that quilt matches that student. Yeah.
Mm. And that's the fun of our group is that everybody is so different. I like abstract type fabrics. Barb likes flowers. We have another one that likes little bitty tiny flowers, and which is the last fabric I would pick up.
Little tiny yellow flowers. No, thank you.
Yes. So when we each do our own, we have such a mixture that it matches the kids because all the kids are different.
Yeah.
So it's amazing how it works.
Yeah. You need people who are not just like you.
Exactly.
That's right.
Yeah.
Exactly.
And when you think about a quilt, I just thought of this too when you were saying that, Cynthia. If you look at fabric and you look at these quilts that are pieced together and they're all sewn in pieces and they're all different fabric, different mm-hmm. color, different everything. Isn't that what we are as people?
Yeah. 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 I think in a lot of ways, this is an example of how has God designed the church.
Right.
He designed it for his glory, make him look great. Yeah. And you take people who are different and those differences, there can be friction, but also be complementary. And when it is complementary, it's a beautiful and exciting, engaging and glorifying thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. What do you know about God that you've learned through these last couple of years, this process? What do you know about him that I don't know yet?
That's a deep question there, Blake.
Well, I know that.
I'm assuming there is. Trust me. Yeah.
Yeah. There. A couple of things come to mind. The prayer shawls. As we make prayer shawls, we're praying mm-hmm. over these shawls because we know that they're going to go to somebody who's hurting.
Yeah.
Somebody that's in need, and it helps us to pray more.
Yeah.
And we're praying for somebody we don't know.
Mm-hmm.
And even the baby buckets, they go to people we don't know. And we're just going, my prayers now have turned from, thank you, God, for giving me the ability to do this, that I can bless other people. And who would have known when I was a young person that I would be doing this today?
Yeah.
And you look in the church and you try to find out ways that you can work. And, You know, I know that they probably know this, but you don't let me near the kids. I'm not a kid person, okay? I will murder those kids if I'm in charge of them. I work with adults. So don't ask me to go over there and work with the kids. And
now,
you
if
know,
adults
we,
act like kids, that's also a problem.
Well, I can tell them. You can't tell kids. But you have to find your place.
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah. And not every part of the church is, I mean, one time I came from a church that said, you should work in all different places in the church. You should teach, you should work with the kids, mm-hmm. you should do this. And I tried it and I went, yuck, this is not for me. Mm-hmm. I don't want to be here. I don't want to do this.
Yeah.
And when I found my groove here and I found the place where I can bless people and God leads me.
Yeah.
He is actually telling me what to do and I'm listening.
Yeah.
Who thought? Yeah. You know, I'm listening.
Yeah.
So it's taught me to listen. It's taught me to lean into him more. One story, I know this is not your question, but one story that's a personal item that I'll share.
Yeah.
Is that when my husband passed, I was living on the other side of town, and I was working. And I just really didn't know what to do. And I was in a big house. And I just kind of, I thought, this house is too big. It's got too many memories in it. My mind would not settle. Mm. I just didn't want to be there. And I walked in my quilting room. And I sat down and I started working on a quilt that I had just started. And I realized that I could spend 2 hours in there. And I was happy.
Mm.
And I started doing that more, and I went back to I belonged to a quilt bee at that time, and I went back to one of my friends. I said, look, I finished this. She said, do you realize you just did this in 2 weeks? You did a 3-month project in 2 weeks. And I went, really? And she looked at me and she said, this is your grief quilt.
What does that mean?
That means that when my husband passed, my grieving went into that quilt.
Mm.
I finished that quilt and I gave it to my son.
It's so emotional, what you've been describing of praying for people. And it really, it's highly emotional. Yeah.
So doing that one time and finishing that quilt, I came out of that. I realized that God gave me this to do, came out of it. And then I thought, I should do this for other people. And that really kind of woke me up of I need to be blessing other people by doing this.
Yeah.
And so then I started thinking, how can I do this? But I was working at the time. But that work only lasted another 2 or 3 years.
Yeah.
And then that's, I think, was a natural. I felt like this was natural for me to fall into this.
Yeah. This ministry is not for everybody. As we said, you know, the church is not uniform, but it's for some people. And so if someone's listening and they're wondering, maybe this is me. We trust Holy Spirit, but it might probably be you. But for others who are like, that's not my thing. Don't put me near a needle or a thread. There's other places in the church where they need to serve and employ their gifts, and they can experience what you're experiencing from God, which, you know, one thing I think is, you know, do you ever expect to experience this much goodness from him?
I did not. I didn't know what God had in store for me, but I tell Dave all the time, I am so thankful we were obedient and we packed our house up from Washington and moved to Texas, not knowing what was here for us. And I think obedience is a tough thing, because we grow up as children, you know, we have to be obedient to our parents and then we get out of the house and we're like, freedom. But, you know, we're always obedient to somebody. And and I think in my life now, listening to God is so important to me. And just being quiet.
Yeah.
Because, you know, we're so busy as people. And somebody might say, I'm just so busy. I really want to do that, but I can't. Mm-hmm. Don't let that deter you. Don't let guilt ride over you. Because I think sometimes we do that.
Yeah.
This may not be your time. God's got something for you. And maybe it is just chasing those toddlers around the house.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's a beautiful thing.
Yeah.
Do it.
Yeah.
You know, yeah. And it's God's timing is perfect. So let it be God's timing. Mm. Listen, be quiet and listen.
Let me ask you one more question. The way you've experienced grace from God in all this, in you know, him leading you to this and fulfillment and that, how would you explain this to a 10-year-old? Putting before them, God has a role for you that you have no idea how you're going to experience his goodness and he's going to use you to bless people. How would you explain that to a 10-year-old?
Well, I have an 11-year-old granddaughter that I often have to share with, and she's too busy in her mind to sit down and quilt. I've tried sewing with her. She spends about 3 minutes on it and she's done. Yep. And I really, you know, I see other people and I'm envious because their grandchildren are sewing these little patchwork quilts. And I just think, oh, I wish she would do that with me. Mm-hmm. But I tell her all the time, you know what? You need to slow down and just enjoy your life right now as a 10-year-old.
Yeah.
Stop trying to be like the 13-year-old. Yeah. Stop trying to push your life forward. Yeah. Life moves so fast anyway.
Yeah.
Slow down and listen to what is important right now. And that might be just being a kid and going to school and doing your homework. It might be enough.
Yeah. That's good advice for every age.
Yeah.
Be
where you are. And so I think it might be hard for a young person to understand, but
yeah.
If I can get more to do that.
My 8-year-old granddaughter lives with me.
Yeah.
She sees me. What are you doing today, Grandma? I'm going to church, going to Hands to Bless. I'm going to go do this. She, before she was able to be in school all day, mm-hmm. I would bring her up here with me. And she'd run around and all the ministers would give her lollipops and, you know, all that. But this was an example for her. She sees me doing this.
Yeah.
And she sees me doing it consistently.
Yeah.
And we talk about grandma's able to do this and I'm going to do this to bless other people. Well, when are you going to make me this? Well, I have to give it to the people that need it more than you first.
Yeah.
So, it's a good thing to show the younger people. And, you know, even the seniors, the graduating seniors that are getting our stuff, you know, maybe that'll jog one of them into saying, I need to do this when I grow up.
Yeah. Yeah.
Just like I said, I need to be like my grandmother and go do this at church when I grow up. When I lived in Humboldt, before I came to this side of town, I belonged to a guild, a quilt guild, and a quilt bee. So a quilt bee is a small group of women like we have with Hands to Bless, but it's women who just, they just quilt, and they come from, they're in your area, local area, and you meet once a month or once a week or whatever and share your quilting. It is an opportunity to share Christ with them, but there's not a lot of opportunity there.
Yeah.
So the only thing that you have in common is quilting.
Mm-hmm.
Here, we have more than just quilting in common and more than just knitting in common or crocheting in common. We do this to bless people that are Christians, that know God, and we do this because God leads us to do this.
Yeah.
And we can pray without anybody saying, why are you doing that? Mm-hmm. And it's without a confrontation every week. And it's so calming to my mind to not have those non-Christian confrontational things as we come do our work.
Yeah.
I know that sounds odd, but that we should be missionaries, but it's when you're out there and you're trying to look for places.
Yeah.
When you're in quilting things that you are in that are not church, that you could talk to people, but you're always on the alert to say, where's the spot? Mm-hmm. You know, where can I say something?
Mm-hmm.
Here it's, okay, I can just be with other people who love Christ.
Yeah.
And then look for their need.
Yeah.
And it's so much easier to look for their need in what you're doing here at church because they already believe. So they're easier to say, we'll pray for you or tell us about what's going on with you. I love listening to all the stories and I love getting new people in, even if they only just come. Tell us your story.
Yeah.
It's wonderful to hear other people's stories.
Well, I've thoroughly enjoyed this. And, this is something I knew kind of a little bit about, but, you've given me so much hope that, maybe my best years of experiencing God really are before me. That my deepest wells of his goodness, this is still yet to come. And I'm so encouraged by that. I want to, again, thank you for being here and thank you for listening. If someone came to mind during this podcast that you think would be encouraged by its content, please send them a link and invite them to listen. And if this is something you're piqued your interest in, seek out Cynthia or Barb or Marcy. She'll put you to work and connect with these ladies. If you've heard a few episodes, do us a favor and give us a review wherever you listen to podcasts. This helps our people find us easier and it makes us feel pretty good. If you have suggestions for other stories, you can contact me, Blake@grandparkway.org. Again, these are stories you've missed.